the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Welcome to Crosstown Church of Memphis. All of you that's on here this morning with us, we're so thankful for you and your continued faithfulness and commitment to be a part of this ministry and to also just to be a part of this family and just your continued support. We thank you so much for joining in on us today. And so we're so blessed to have you. We're going to start a brand new series today. And I was actually inspired by this series because of a pastor, a guy by the name of Greg Rochelle, and he's the pastor of Life Church. Life Church has, they're based out of Oklahoma, and they have churches that have campuses all over the country. They're international as well, but a very large, thriving, great ministry. Greg Rochelle is a great teacher, great inspiration, a great writer, author. But he just recently released a book, and the title of that book is called Winning the War in Your Mind. And so that book, I haven't purchased it yet. I've heard him talk about it and reference it multiple times over the last probably about 3 or 4 months. Actually longer than that, going into that last year. And so he just recently released the book. I think early in the year, January or December, something like that, he bought like 1,000 of his own, something like that. And he actually gave them away to people as a launch off to his book. But anyway, the title of the book is called Winning the War in Your Mind. And he talks about this daily battle that we face in our mind, that we deal with in our minds every day. And this battle in our minds of dealing with negativity or dealing with negative thinking. You know, every day we are in this constant mind battle, in this constant mind struggle in our minds. You know, our mind is constantly going all different directions, you know, good, bad, up, down, sideways, every direction. And because of that, we're in this constant battle. Sometimes, you know, we're trying our best to think positive, have positive thoughts. We're trying our best to be motivating, encouraged, or motivated and encouraged, and you know, have a mind of peace and so forth. But then there's so many different things that's going on in the world and so many different moving parts. And we struggle with this negative thinking. And so it seems like negative thinking just constantly taking over this battle in our mind with these negative thoughts. And, you know, we want to trust in God and we want to have faith in God. But it seems like this struggle in our minds of this negative thinking and this struggling to have faith in God, this struggle to trust in God, but we still want to have control at the same time. You know, we want to have faith in God and we want to trust in God and things are moving so fast. And what happens is we get to moving so fast to the point where we don't wait long enough to trust in God and we don't wait long enough to have faith in God, or we don't wait long enough for that trust or that faith to actually begin to move in our lives. We don't give it time. And what happened is we began to take control over our situations ourselves, as opposed to waiting on God. And when we take control over a situation ourselves, then, you know, a lot of times we find ourselves not depending on God, not having faith in God, not trusting in God. And we began leaning and depending on our own understanding. We began leaning and depending on our own actions, and we take control over situations. And what happens is the devil, he gets into our minds and he begins to cause this battle to take forth back and forth. One moment we have this deep spiritual connection with God. And because we have faith in God, because we trust in God, we believe that we can do anything. The Bible tells us that through God, all things are possible. And we believe and we have this strong spiritual connection and strong faith that we know that all things are possible through God. But then the very next moment, man, it's like things may not be moving as fast or in the way that we feel like, you know, it should be moving. And we all can admit that the way God do things is not necessarily the way that we would do things. And so sometimes God may be doing something in our minds. We're not seeing it as being God doing something. We just think that don't make sense. And so we go our own way and we do our own thing. And and we struggle with that. The next moment, we're struggling. We're trying our best. We struggle with trying our best to trust God and to let Him take control over our minds. But then we get detoured by these different situations in our lives, and we feel like we need to take control. And then our faith in God begins to waver, and it begins to not be seen as exercised in our lives. We need to understand that our mind is a battlefield. If you believe that your mind is a battlefield, just wave your hand at me. Our minds is a battlefield, and it is constantly playing games on us. I know some of you can relate to this. I know I can. You know, in my life, it feels like my mind is constantly playing games on with me. One moment I'm thinking this way, and I'm forcing myself, and I'm pushing myself, and I'm encouraging myself to think positive, to think positive thoughts, and to be encouraged, to be an inspiration. You know, sometimes encouraging myself as I go through life and face different situations. But then all of a sudden, I find myself, my mind playing games with me and telling me different things to cause me to doubt what I be saying. Most of life's battles are either won or lost in the mind. These are some of the things that Craig Rochelle talks about in his book. And one thing that he says, most of life's battles are either won or lost in the mind. A lot of times we look at our actions and we look at the things that we do or we don't do. With those things that we do or that we don't do, they actually begin in our minds. And so those battles, sometimes we look at the different things in life that we've dealt with, or our different battles we faced, or whatever, the different struggles or different things that we've gone through, or different goals that we're trying to achieve and aspirations and so forth. And those things are either lost or won, beginning in the mind. And so when we look at scripture, and when we also look at psychological studies of our brain, one of the things that we understand is that there is evidence to back this up. There's evidence to back up the fact that battles are either won or lost in our minds. You know, there's so many scientific studies and of the brain and psychological studies of the brain and how we think and so forth. And when we look at scripture and when we look at the psychological and the scientific study of our mind, our brain, and our thinking, we find that they actually match up. They actually support one another. You know, we have science in this world, and I believe that God made science. You know, it's just a matter of some people using it for corrupt situations and some people using it for, you know, good situations. And so, but there's the studies that people have done when it comes to our thinking is amazing. Sometimes I just encourage you guys to look into the studies of the brain, look into the studies of the mind. I remember when I was in college and I was taking this class, I was a sociology major. I was trying to major in sociology. And one of the things that I discovered in sociology is understanding how people think, or understanding why they think what they think. And then in the way that they think, how certain societies or communities of people actually develop out of that. And so certain, like our community here in Memphis is the way it is because the way people think. You go into another community, you go into another city or another country, and you'll find that it's quite different from where we live at. And the reason that is because the way people think. There's certain battles that's either won or lost. So over the next several weeks, this is something that we're going to do. We're going to trust God. We're going to look to God to help us to transform or to renew our thinking. Because one of the things is a lot of negative thinking is so easily developed in our lives. And because we have a lot of negative thinking, it actually determines the course of our lives. Over the next several weeks, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he struggled with his mind. He struggled with his thinking. And because he struggled with his mind and he struggled with his thinking, you know, there were some things that he had to do. He had to lean and depend on God. He had to really look at scripture and try to figure out, man, how do I deal with this struggle in my mind? You know, there's a time where he said, when I would do right, He said, when I desire to do right, I find myself doing wrong. When I desire to go right, I find myself going left. He said, it seemed like no matter how much good I try to do, I still find myself doing those things that I don't want to do and that I know that's contrary to God and his word. So he knew there was a mind struggle that he was playing. His mind was playing games with him. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, and we're going to look at some of these struggles that he faced, some of these mind games that he faced in his life, and how he actually dealt with some of these things. But so here's our first scripture that we're going to look at today. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. And the Apostle Paul, he says, we are human. Any humans in the house? Amen. We all are humans, right? He says, we are humans, but we don't wage war like humans do. He said, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. He said, now pay close attention to this. He said, we are humans, but we don't fight like humans do. He said, instead of fighting with worldly weapons, he said, we fight with godly weapons. And we fight with godly weapons to do what? To knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. Where does human reasoning take place? Human reasoning takes place in the mind. You begin to reason with yourself about certain things. And then after you reason with yourself about certain things and you're convinced about those things, you actually begin to reason with other people. Or vice versa, they begin to reason with you. And so we fight these strongholds. We use godly weapons to fight these strongholds of human reasoning. And he goes on to say here, and to destroy false arguments. Some of us, because of our negative thinking that has developed in our minds, we actually find ourselves in arguments, and we don't even realize that our arguments is based off of false premises. We're jeopardizing relationships. We're getting mad at one another. We're fighting with one another. We're getting into these arguments based off of false premises. Find ourselves in these false arguments. And so the Apostle Paul is saying the way that you fight this human reasoning, the way that you fight or prevent yourselves from getting into these false arguments is you're going to have to tear down the strongholds. You have to tear down the strongholds in your mind, and you tear those strongholds down with godly weapons and not worldly weapons. I'm going to read that same scripture to you out of the King James Version. The one I read to you was out of the New Living Testament. In the King James Version, it says this, it's for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not from this world, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. So I want to talk about this thing, stronghold, this word stronghold, so we can have a better understanding about what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Okay. The Apostle Paul here is talking about strongholds. So here's what a stronghold is. A stronghold is a place that is built for protection against attack, such as a fort or a castle. So all of you have seen castles before. All of you have seen forts before. You've seen, you know, these military movies, you know, dating way back even to, you know, the before Christ days, you know. The city of Jerusalem has a big wall built around it, like a big old fort. Actually, I don't even know if that wall is there. I think the parts of it is there. I'm not sure. But anyway, you know, you've seen castles and forts, and they have these big walls that are built up. You know, some of you are familiar with the story about Camelot and huge wall around the city. And even a lot of places, when they have a huge wall that's built around the city, they even have another wall that's built around the actual castle itself. And what these walls are strongholds. These walls are massive. Some of you, I know I have never actually been there before, but I've seen pictures of it. The Great Wall of China. The Great Wall of China is like Man, it's like a one of the eighth wonders of the world. Is there eight wonders now or seven? Is it still seven? I'm not sure. I think eight wonders of the world. The Great Wall of China is one of the eight wonders of the world. It is amazing. There is like nothing like it in the entire world. This thing stretched for miles and miles and miles. It is wide as heck, and it is massively built. So it is so hard to destroy that wall. And even, even with the design of the protection that they have for this wall, it is like, man, I don't know anyone or any nation that has actually, you know, penetrated it in an attempt to take over China. The Great Wall of China is a massive stronghold. It's designed to protect. It's designed to protect what's on the other side of it. Well, Apostle Paul is using this word strongholds in reference to our reasoning. He's using this word stronghold in reference to the way that we think. And so in our minds, there's some strongholds that have been developed. But guess what? These are not the type of strongholds that we need in our minds. I'm going to show you by giving you the second definition of strongholds. The second definition of stronghold, it says, it's a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. It's a place where a particular cause or belief, where are your beliefs at? Your beliefs are in your mind and in your heart. So that particular cause that's in your mind, that belief that's in your mind and your heart, it is strongly defended and upheld. Well, why does Paul tell us we need to tear these things down? That we go further in that chapter, in the book, chapter 10 of the second book of Corinthians, it becomes very evident and very clear that Paul is talking about the mind. It's very clear that Paul is talking about the way that we think. The devil has attacked our minds, and he has built strongholds in our minds, causing us to believe what he wants us to believe and not believe the things of God that we want to believe or trust in. So the devil has come into our minds because of the reasoning, because of human reasoning, and because of these false arguments and stuff, and because of the way that we think, the different things that he has constantly put in front of our face. What's happened is he has slowly built up these strongholds in our minds, and these strongholds, he's built them up in order to protect that false thing, protect that lie from the truth, which is revealed in God, or revealed in God through Jesus Christ. He has shaped our thinking one lie at a time. I want y'all to think about that. The devil has shaped our thinking one lie at a time. And that one lie is just like building a fort or building a whole wall. You lay one brick at a time. He laid one brick at a time. And before you know it, we got these big strongholds in our mind that's guarding and protecting that lie from the truth. What are some of the lies that he's built? One lie at a time. He built a lie that, you know, you can't trust people. I hear this so often from people. You can't trust nobody today. You can't trust nobody today. You can't trust nobody. It's a lie. There's a lot of people that you can trust. But that brick has been laid. That foundation has been laid for a long time. And so we find ourselves in situations constantly where we just don't trust people. Even the very closest people to us that we should trust, we have a hard time in trusting them in even the simplest things. The devil tells us that you will never succeed. There's many things in your life that you've tried to do, and you may have failed so many times. And that failure, you know, that failure after failure after failure, every single time there's a brick of failure being laid. And that lie is telling you that you ain't gonna never succeed. See, you done failed again. You ain't gonna never succeed. See, you done failed again. You ain't gonna never. And it just keeps going on and on and on. And eventually you begin to think and believe that, man, I'm never gonna get anywhere. So I might as well just accept what I got. This is my life. So, hey, let me just make the best out of this right here. Your marriage will never get better. You know, you've been struggling for so long with certain issues in your marriage, and it seems like those issues just keep repeating itself over and over and over and over and over again, and situations just keep repeating itself over and over and over and over again, and it seems like you're just not going anywhere. And it seems like it's just not going to get any better. And because you've been married for so long, you're just like, oh, well, this is just it. So yeah, I just got, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to leave or I'm going to stay, you know? So you feel like you bought the lie, it's never going to get better. You feel like your kids are hopeless. You know, you've been dealing with situations with your kids over and over and over and over again. And sometimes you feel like it's just hopeless. You know, your kids are grown now. Your kids are probably married, got their own kids and everything. You still look at them like, oh my gosh, when are they ever going to wake up? When are they ever going to get it? But they grown now, and we feel like it's hopeless, man. Just let them do what they're going to do. Forget it. You know, you're not going to get that job that you wanted. You've been seeking and working and working and working and working to get that job that you wanted. And because you just constantly push and trying to get it, it just seems like it ain't going to never come. And eventually you're going to believe that it ain't going to never come. You know, that I just give, you know, praise and honor to God right now. I remember Sharika, this past week, she shared about, you know, this job opportunity. And she said, this is the job that she's been wanting for so long. Yeah. And in her mind, she's questioning whether or not she should actually go after it because of her current job situation. And it's like, oh my gosh, if this is the thing that you've been wanting, if this is the thing that you went to school for, if this is the thing that you've been working for, go get it. And sometimes God will put our blessings right there in front of our face. And it may not look exactly like we wanted to look. It may not come exactly the way we thought it was going to come. But we're looking at it smack dab in the face. And because we have bought into a lie for so long and the devil built these strongholds up in our minds, it'll cause us to even question the very thing when we see it.
That's right.
Your finances will never get better. And you feel like, man, I've been working all these years. I've been hustling all these years. I've been paying all these bills. And it seems like every time I get ahead one step, I get pushed back four and five steps.
Amen.
It's just what it is. It's just what it is. You feel like your finances are never going to get any better. You know, God doesn't hear your prayers. How many times we've been praying and praying and praying, and it seems like God just does not hear our prayers. The devil is constantly lying to you. God does hear your prayers. The Bible tells us that he hears the cries of his children. He does hear our prayers. And the devil tells us also that God doesn't care because our situations that seem like they don't ever change. Then the devil start telling us, see that? You're still living in the same old house. See that? You still got the same old job. See that? You're still broke. See that? Your kids are still bad. See that? Your husband is still a mess. Guess what? He constantly telling you, God don't care. God don't care. See, if God cared, all those situations would be changing. Don't buy the lie. So how do we battle these thoughts in our mind? How do we fight these thoughts in our mind? How do we win in this mind game? Did I give y'all guys the title of this series? I don't think I gave you the title of this series. The title of this series, let me go back to it. It's titled Mind Games. The title of the series is called Mind Games. And today's lesson is titled Winning the Mind Game. If I'm going to be in a game, I'm in a game to win it. I'm not in a game just to have fun. I'm a very competitive person. So if there's a mind game that's going on up in here, I want to win. So I don't know if Johnny's on here. Oh, Jerome is still on here. I think I saw Johnny. I saw Jerome too. It's just like this right here. When we sit down at the table to play dominoes, guess what? We sit down because we want to win. We don't sit down just to be playing with our thumbs. We sit down because we want to win. If you're going to be in a mind game, be in the mind game to win. So I want to help us. I want to provide us with something that helps us to win this mind game. It's just like, man, when you sit down at dominoes, you got to know how to count them numbers. You got to know how to, you know, count and see what's out there and what's not out there. You got to try to look ahead and try to predict what the next person is going to do. You may be wrong, you may be right, but you got to do something. You just can't sit there and just twiddle your thumbs. You got to, when it comes to this mind game and the strongholds that the devil has built up in our mind, we can't just sit there twiddling our thumbs and let him continue to build these bricks of one lie at a time in our mind. We got to win this thing. We got to fight this thing. We got to do something to combat it. The Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul says, that we have to tear down these strongholds with the mighty power of God, not with worldly weapons, but with spiritual weapons. The Apostle Paul tells us, he says, use God's mighty weapons to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. In verse number 5, I haven't read that one to you yet. He said, how do we know that this is what Paul is talking about, this battle that's in the mind? Hello, the very next verse, verse number 5, he makes it very clear right here. In verse number 5, he says, cast down imaginations. Where are imaginations at? In your mind. Cast down imaginations. And he goes on even further to even clarify this even more, that he's talking about our thinking. He says, and every thought that exists, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear in verse number 5 what he was talking about in verse number 3 and 4. He's talking about this battle that's going on in our minds. He's talking about the strongholds of this lie, these lies that the devil has built in our minds, one lie at a time. And he's saying, and because these lies have been built in our minds, and these strongholds have been built into our minds, it causes us to live this life of negative thinking. The title of our lesson today is Winning the Mind Game. I haven't said a prayer yet. Let me say a prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I love you so much. I thank you for all things, Lord. Today, I just pray through your word that you help us to identify the strongholds that have been built in our minds, the lies that the devil have used to build these strongholds, and that you help us and show us how to tear down these strongholds so that we can win this mind game. It's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we change our thinking, we can change our lives. Simple as that. Some of our life situations has not changed. And the reason that they haven't changed is because of our thinking. If we change our thinking, we can change our lives. Scriptures and psychological studies show that your mind is always moving in the direction of your thoughts. Your mind is always moving in the direction of your thoughts. So wherever your thoughts are going, that's where your mind is going. And wherever your mind is going, that's where your reasoning is going. And wherever your reasoning is going, that's where your beliefs are going. And those beliefs, you are upholding those beliefs. And wherever your beliefs are going, that's where your decision-making process is going. And wherever your decision-making process is going, that's where your actions are going.
Can you say that one more time? I'm so sorry.
I said a whole lot. Wherever let me see. It says your mind, whatever direction your mind is going, your mind is always moving in the direction that your thoughts are going. So wherever your mind goes, that's where your thoughts are going. Your mind controls the direction of your thoughts. So wherever your thoughts go, wherever your mind goes, that's where your thoughts go. You got relational problems. Is that where your mind at? Anxiety, addictions, eating disorders, criminal activity. All of these things, and there's so much more, all of these things are linked to the thinking of a person's mind. All of these things are linked to their thoughts. Relational problems. It goes back to your thoughts. What was you thinking? You ever had a child to mess up, or you as a child, you get messed up and you do something wrong, and your parents or your principal or teacher or somebody, grandmama, somebody say, what was you thinking? Because whatever you was thinking, it totally took you in the direction of what you did. They're not asking you about what you did because they can see what you did. They're asking you, what was you thinking?
Amen.
What was you thinking? Relational problems. What was you thinking? What's going on in your mind with some of these relational problems that you're having? This anxiety in your life. What's going on in your mind? This addiction that you're dealing with. You know, all types of addictions in every type of form. What are you thinking? What's going on in your mind that's causing you to constantly go back to that thing? Eating disorders. What's going on? Criminal activity. What is it that's driving you to continue to go back to it? What are you thinking? A lot of our problems are the direct result of what we think. Say that one more time in case you want to tweet it. A lot of our problems are a direct result of what we think. Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, he is." Other translations say, "In his mind, as a man thinketh, so is he." What you think develops who you are. It's a direct reflection. The life we are living is a direct reflection of the thoughts that we think. You want to know how you think? Just look at your life. Just take a good look at your life, and your life will show you a clear reflection of what you think. If you think that you can't, you probably won't. If you think that you can, you probably will. If you are constantly dwelling on your problems, it will overwhelm you and your problems will never get resolved. Constantly think about your problems and you get overwhelmed with them and they'll never get resolved. If you're going to think about them, think about ways to resolve them. Think about solutions. Too often we think about our problems and we think about them and we complain and we fuss and we argue and it just overwhelms us. And we never have any solution. They never get better. They never get fixed or whatever. If you're going to think about them, and problems are real, okay? We don't need to act like they don't exist. They're real, okay? But if you're going to think about them, if you're going to think about your problems, think about solutions. Think about how you can resolve it. Not think about them in ways of complaining and fussing and arguing and believing false premises and believing using human reasonings to somehow accept or justify it when you know this is just not what you want. Instead of you thinking, or if you are thinking that you're the victim in many situations, you will always be the victim. Instead of thinking that you are the victim, think about how you can overcome being the victim. So often people play the victim role and they just stay in that place of being a victim. And so they act like the victim. They live like the victim. They become the victim because they think they're the victim. Okay, well, maybe I am the victim. Maybe it's true that I am the victim. How am I going to overcome being victimized? Think like that. Remember that you have help. Remember that there is help available to you. Isaiah 41:13, it says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Know and understand when you are battling these negative thinking and this negative thinking is controlling the direction of your life, then know that you have help. You don't have to do this by yourself. We have a God who loves us and he cares for us. He takes us by the hand and he will lead us beside still waters. They say, through the valley of the shadows of death. He said he will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Some of us look at that wrong. You know what? He prepares a table before us. God prepared a table for you. He sat you down at the table in the presence of your enemies. Your enemies are not sitting at the table. They're just in the presence. They're standing around looking while you're sitting down enjoying the table. God is not the type of God where he's going to put your enemies at your table that he prepared for you. Understand that. In so many cases, the life that we have is a reflection of our thoughts, or a reflection of the thoughts that we think. So let's pause for just a minute. I'm going to bring this to a closure in a minute. Margaret, if you get a chance, tell me how much time we are on here. I don't know how much time we are, but I'm going to bring it to a close because I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get through this entire message. But let's pause for just a second. In this minute that we want to pause for, I want you to think about what you think about. Or think of, yeah, think about what you think about. That's kind of crazy, ain't it? We think all the time, so think about what you think about. So we're going to do a little exercise, okay? Do a little exercise. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do a thought audit. So I want each of you individually to think about what you're thinking about. And I'm going to, here's the first thing that I want you to do. First thing I want you to think about how you, what you think about. And that is, does your thinking tend to lean more to worrying or to a side of a peaceful mind? When you think about things, do you lean more to worrying about stuff, or do you lean more to a peaceful mind? Let me help you out. When you wake up in the morning and you get up and you get your day started and everything's begin to move in your day, are you worried about your kids?
Yeah.
Are you worried about your health? Are you worried? And when I say worried about these things, maybe I should replace the word worry to thinking. Are you thinking about your kids? Are you thinking about, I mean, to the point where you worry about them? Are you thinking about your health to the point where you're worried about them? Are you thinking about your job situation to the point where you're worried about it? Or do these same things, even when they are bad, because we think about our job situation, we think about our health, we think about our kids, you know, we think about these things, we think about our financial situations, we think about it, but even when they are bad, are you casting your cares into the hands of the Lord? Are you praying over your kids? Are you doing something to change your health situation? Are you looking to God and to good counsel when it comes to your job situation? You know, sometimes we need good counsel. God puts people in our path. He puts people available. And if we can't find them, we don't see them, go look for them. Pick up the yellow pages. But they say, let your fingers do the walking. Find somebody that can help you. If your financial situation is just a mess and it seems like it's not getting better and you wake up constantly thinking about, you go through your day thinking about your financial situation, trying to figure out how you can make it better, and you still haven't come up with a solution yet, seek some help. Seek a financial advisor. Are you looking to God? Are you talking to a financial advisor? My wife and I, we talked to a financial advisor twice. When we got to a place where we just lost and couldn't do nothing. And each time we talked to the financial advisor, we did exactly what they told us to do. And they got us out of a mess that we couldn't get ourselves out of. In other words, are you constantly worried about your problems, or are you looking for solutions to resolve them? If you're looking for solutions to resolve them, you're probably operating with more of a peaceful mind. If you're not, you're probably leaning more toward a worried mind. The second one is this. Does your thoughts drift towards negative, or do they drift toward the positive? When you're thinking, do they constantly drift toward the negative side, or do they constantly drift toward the positive side? Do you find yourself constantly being critical of people? This is how you can, these are a few questions to help you to figure out, are you leaning more to the negative or lean more to the positive? Are you constantly critical about people? Do you assume the worst in people, or do you believe the best in people? I remember having a conversation with somebody not too long ago, and in a conversation they had assumed, or shall I say, they had assumed the worst in me about a particular situation. I was like, oh my gosh, dude, why you just go there? Why I gotta be like that? And he was like, man, I always assume the worst out of everybody. So why is that? Because I don't trust nobody. I said, look here, man, you don't have to do that with me. You don't have to assume the worst out of me, because if I can, I'm gonna give you my best. Or do you look at all this work? You know, when it comes to your job, do you look at your day like this? When you look at your day, do you look at it like this? Do you look at it and say, look at all this work that I have to do? This is going to be hard. It's going to be bad. I'm going to be so busy. I don't have enough time to do all this work. I ain't got no help. Do you look at your day like that? Or do you look at those same things, even when they are tough? And you think this, who can I get to help me? With the right help, I can get a lot of this stuff done. It's going to be a long day, but it's going to be productive. I'm going to be busy, but I will get as much done as I can possibly get done. Which way do you look at those situations, the things that you have to do in a day? If it's the first, then you're probably leaning toward a negative mind. The latter, you're leaning toward a positive mind. Here's the third thing, and I'm going to start bringing this to you. The third thing is this. Are your thoughts more worldly or are they more eternal? Are your thoughts lean more to the worldly things or to the eternal things? Are your thoughts driven by what you have and what you wear and what you look like? Are you consumed by what others think about you or how they treat you? Or are your thoughts more on the life that God has given you to steward over? How well do you take care of yourself and the things that God has blessed with you? How can you make a difference in someone else's life? Are you walking out the things that God has created and called you to do? God has blessed all of us with spiritual gifts to bless our own lives, but also to bless and to help the lives of others, making their lives better. Are you making a difference in people's lives? And are you not just are you not just tending to your own immediate family, but are you also attending to the needs of other people as well to make their lives better, whether you know them or you don't know them? God has blessed all of us with the ability, and he put us here, and he created us, and he called us here, not just to make our own lives better, but also to make the lives of other people better, making the world a better place to live. When we think about these three areas, how would you characterize your thinking? If your life, we have to understand that your life is a direct reflection of your mind. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what you do or what you have, what you know, or how you look, what you buy, what you drive, where you live, or how much money you got. You cannot have a positive life when you have a negative mind. It's not gonna happen. If you have a negative mind, you're gonna have a negative life. If you have a positive mind, you're gonna have a positive life. Your thoughts will determine the direction of, or your mind will determine the direction of your thoughts, and your thoughts are gonna determine the direction of your life. Why? Because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your strongest thoughts. Ask yourself this question. If your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? Are you excited about the direction that your life, that your thoughts are taking you right now? And I asked myself this question, and I had to answer this question truthfully and being honest with myself. And I answered this question and it was no. I'm not excited about some things in my life that my thinking is determining the direction of my life concerning. I look at my thoughts and how they were a direct reflection of my life, and I did not like the direction that they were taking me. Some of my thoughts were thoughts of doubt, thoughts of discouragement, thoughts of failure, thoughts of disappointment, thoughts of laziness, thoughts of procrastination. Ooh, why do I do these things? This is because of my thoughts, a direct reflection of my life. I am not excited about the direction of these things or that these things are taking me in my life. Because of this, I'm making it a priority to invite God in to help me to renew my mind and to change my thinking. And that's what we all need to do. I want to win this mind game. I want to tear down the strongholds in my mind. I want to replace the fortress that the devil has built in my mind. And I want to build a godly fortress in my mind. And in order to do that, I have to realize that I need God's help. I need his help in order to do this. There's two areas that we're going to focus on as we go on in the next several weeks. There's two areas we're going to focus on, and we're going to put a lot of time in these areas. And that is, one, we want to identify the biggest strongholds in our mind. What's the biggest stronghold? What's the one thing that you think about the most? And if that thing is a negative thing, we want to identify that stronghold. Because we have to realize it's holding us back. And the second thing is, name the truth that destroys the stronghold. Name the truth that destroys the stronghold. So one, we're going to identify the strongest stronghold in our lives. And two, we're going to name the thing that will destroy it. And we're going to put these things, and we're going to deal with these things.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast on Facebook and YouTube next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.